One of the first works to be reinstalled in the Peabody Essex Museum's $125 million expansion is seen as a living god by many native Hawaiians. Ku, as he's called, is a girthy, grimacing, 6.5-foot-tall wooden sculpture, one of only three in the world. He was embraced by the king, who united the Hawaiian Islands in the early 1800s. Whenever the rare object is resituated, a native Hawaiian delegation honors and blesses Ku in a private ceremony. In this case, WBUR's Andrea Shea was in attendance.
Staff trickle into a granite-floored atrium in the Peabody Essex Museum's elegant new wing. They mill about in hushed excitement over the imposing, larger-than-life carving of Kuka Ilimoku, or Ku, including the museum's outgoing director and CEO, Dan Monroe.
As anyone who sees Ku will understand, he is very powerful. He's fierce.
Flaring nostrils, a gaping mouth, and jutting chin animate Ku's huge head. His thick legs look ready to pounce. According to Hawaiian mythology, one of Ku's many manifestations is god of war.
He's a very complex god. He has not only a strong visual presence, but he's a very strong spiritual presence as well. So he is being attended to currently by a number of practitioners of Native Hawaiian culture that we brought together to do this.
A Native Hawaiian woman with braided hair, a wreath of dark seashells, and bare feet sits quietly at the bottom of a stairway. Ku is on the second floor in a prominent space outside the new East India Marine Hall.
Aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
Aloha. My name is Mehana. I will be ushering us up the stairs. They're almost ready.
This is a sacred ceremony for the practitioners, so I'm asked to shut off my recorder. The delegation's series of chants rise and fall to help Ku feel more welcome in his new location. The god's muscular form towers over the humans from a raised pedestal. Then I get the green light to record the final chant as offerings are laid at Ku's feet, including a lei made of native plants and salts from all around Hawaii. Marcus Hanalei Marzon led the ceremony. He's cultural advisor at the Bishop Museum in Honolulu, which houses another one of the world's three Kus.
We did a series of chants, first beginning with three chants that honored Hawaii. So the idea of bringing Hawaii to Salem with our presence, with our voice, with all of the things that we brought to connect Ku back with his homeland.
Ku was taken from Hawaii as waves of Christian missionaries arrived in the 1820s, 30s, and 40s to convert the indigenous population. The Hawaiian monarchy denounced native religious practices, and iconography was banned and burned. But Marzon says countless objects survived.
Whenever I travel to different places around the world, I always think about what would happen if they actually stayed in Hawaii. Would they have still been around for us to see and experience today?
Marzon says some native Hawaiians strongly believe objects like Ku should be returned to Hawaii, but he's grateful this important piece of history is being preserved at the Peabody Essex Museum. He calls Ku an ambassador for Hawaiian culture and the museum a steward.
What we're doing is honoring native Hawaiians' living relationships that they have with Ku.
Karen Kramer is the museum's curator of Native American and Oceanic art and culture.
How can we be better caretakers, always lifting him up and letting him be the amazing star that he is?
Ku entered the museum's collection in the 1840s. Kramer says a donor named John T. Prince wrote a letter to the East India Marine Society stating the temple image was procured from a converted native chief who had planned to destroy it. For Kramer, it's impossible to know for sure if Ku would have been burned or not if he stayed in Hawaii.
Did we save him? Don't know. But have we taken care of him since we've had him? Yes.
Like other U.S. cultural institutions that receive federal funding, the Peabody Essex Museum complies with the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, or NAGPRA, a legal mechanism to help return human remains and sacred objects to indigenous communities. According to the museum, a claim for coup was submitted by a Hawaiian cultural organization in the 90s, but after dialogue, the request was withdrawn. The museum says it continues to work closely with Native Hawaiians to care for the sculpture. In the new wing, Kramer says thousands of visitors will be exposed to Ku's history and artistry.
If you follow the lines of his headdress from the tip of his head all the way down, and it hangs almost as low as his hands, that's all one piece of wood. And it is an unbelievable work of art, and you can feel that power emanating from him.
One person who experienced Ku's power close up during the ceremony is Native Hawaiian Kamuela Werner.
The past became ever so relevant, accessible, as if he was reaching his arm out to me and bringing me back and reminding me that the present and the future are all connected with the past. So that's what it felt like.
Werner is one of five Native American fellows studying at the museum this summer. His field is anthropology, and he says he's been surprised by the cultural sensitivity and respect between the Native Hawaiian collaborators and the museum. The delegation's Marcus Marzan is gratified to see Ku standing proudly in a window spot where he can look out and see the world again.
See the sky, maybe not feel the rain, but, you know, can definitely see the rain falling, see the wind blowing through the trees.
And Ku is facing west towards his homeland. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
Ekau mai ka wa mo ke kule ana a e reia ka me ke ke ye ye ka wa go go le wa ka pu i lo go ne ya hi ke pa mo i ku wa ya ka i pu pa.